Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. This is Viata, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in this morning for my very, very special guest. Today, I'm so excited to have Diana Richardson join me again. She has written an awesome book, and I checked YouTube today, and she's promoting another movie called, I believe it's about Awake. So I'm really excited to find out from her how her journey has been since Diana was last here. We had Diana on the show, I believe it was December of last year or January, but this will be part two of Slow Sex author Diana Richardson. So I believe Diana is on the board. Diana, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Viata. I'm
good
here.
Morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, very clearly. Welcome. So glad to hear your voice again.
Yes, yours too. It has such a beautiful quality.
You're in Canada. How is Canada this time of year?
Well, I'm in Quebec, and which is East Coast, and it's really, really lovely. It's very green. I'm in the forest, so I'm very happy to be here. Yeah, working in the garden, working in the forest. A nice
place. Wow. Are you visiting friends, or is it a second home for you?
Have a little holiday cottage.
Great, great. I was in North Carolina last week, and I wasn't very impressed with Asheville because it's kind of your typical urban city, but I went up into the mountains to stay with friends overnight, and oh my goodness, it's like a little heaven on earth up there. The air is clear, the trees are everywhere, so I really feel your connection to the green around you.
Yes, yes, beautiful. I feel fortunate to be in a forest. So
yes, we are very fortunate to, when we are in the forest, in with nature, in with trees and birds and spiders and all those wonderful creatures of nature. So I'm glad you had this holiday.
Yesterday I lifted my front doormat, which is outside the front door, and there was a little baby snake underneath the front doormat, so I was charmed. I've never seen such a small snake.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. I'm glad you're charmed and not afraid, like most of us.
Well, honestly, I kept on visualizing that little snake through the day, remembering that I'd seen it, because you get quite a shock when you see a snake. And it just filled me with such excitement.
Absolutely. I moved away from a condominium last year, and I for the first time in 12 months, a snake crossed my path in this very urban area. And there was the most amazing snake with red and green and black stripes, and it stopped me in my tracks. It went right across my path, and I watched it sliver into the grass and the bushes, and I thought, that was weird. So I immediately went to my Animal Speaks book and looked up what the meaning of snakes was. So it really helps to have a book like that around, where you can not be afraid of creatures that surprise you, but actually get into their purpose and why they show up when they do. So I learned a lot about snakes from my book, which told me, I can't remember what it told me, but it was fascinating.
Yes, yes. Yes, what I understand about snakes is it's to do with transformation of energy and so on. So that's why if a snake does cross your path, it's good. Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
great to have you. This is like a part two for us. And I actually went on YouTube this morning and just thought, well, maybe Diana has YouTube videos on. And yeah, of course you have YouTube videos. So I watched one of your videos about your Awake or a new movie. So I'm really excited to hear about that. But first, I want, for those who are on the line listening, if you could just review a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and how you got into this fascinating subject, because it is so relevant for our times.
Yes, Viata, sure. You know, I'm born in South Africa, in KwaZulu. I grew up really in the countryside, blessed to be with African people. I feel I learned a lot about their way, but on an energy level. They're so much more connected with the body and vital. So I feel very grateful for having grown up in South Africa, in spite of the difficult racial situation. It was horrendous. But at the same time, I was fortunate enough to be in a situation where I could make bonds with people because of the farm context. Did ordinary education, went to school, university afterwards, trained to be a lawyer. But that was in an effort to somehow do something for the people. But once I actually got into, 6 years later, actually got rolling with that, I realized truth and justice have got very little to do with each other. So I pulled out, and then I started to do therapeutic massage for many, many, many years, teaching and practicing. And this how to say, connection with the body, just prompted me slowly, slowly to make an inquiry into sex, because that's the foundation, in a way, we can say, that the body is created for, because nature's prime concern is reproduction. So by now, I guess I'm early 30s, and then I started using different bits of information that I received from two masters, actually. One in India, who I am actually still a disciple of, he retranslated or re-brought in the very ancient tantric scriptures or text, which kind of lie back 15,000 years in the history there. And that was coupled with a more modern man, Barry Long. My master's called Osho, Barry Long, both are now deceased. Barry Long did a really fascinating talk, and this was the early 80s when I first heard it, called Making Love. And he just was so revolutionary in his approach to making love. So these two sources, I kind of like took little tips and hints and started to actually pull them into my own lovemaking. And it was such a different experience. And I felt so different as a person. Just me and, you know, me with me. And then, of course, that affected how I was with other people. So, of course, at that time, I didn't know that life would evolve and I would end up in this position being interviewed about the material and so on. So my beginnings were really like innocent. It was just, what's today bringing? There was no big objective. And all these series of today have created the situation now that I do know quite a lot about, you know, human sexuality, the two possibilities there are, which is one is obviously the reproductive, but they're the more unknown possibility is more, we can say, the spiritual aspect of sex. So it happened like, I guess, late 80s, early 90s, that couples, I was living in India at the time and in a community, and then couples started to come to me to talk about their sex lives. Spontaneously, I never said anything, and I found I was able to answer them. And so that was nice. And then slowly, slowly, this whole thing grew into me. Now for 23 years, I've been doing week-long couple retreats with my partner, Michael. Really, in a residential situation, take couples, actually we do 25 couples at a time, and help people to become more anchored in the body, because this is the basic bridge that is missing. Some people, very, very few people, have it naturally. And some races or you know, groups have it more easily than others. But essentially, we're just, the body is here. Well, not the, we use the body just to convey the mind, and it really should be the other way around. So there's a tremendous lack of awareness in our bodies in general. So one of the things that, you know, to bring sex and relating and also life to another level is to start having more consciousness in the body. So, and through that consciousness, then one, different doorways open up. So in the retreats, you know, we teach body anchoring and also give a new perspective on sex. And then people practice later on in the day in private. It's a totally, I'd say, very professional situation. There's no group sex, there's no group nudity. Everything personal, intimate happens in your own bedroom. So I've been doing this now for, you know, as I say, 23 years, and it's been so fascinating, firstly, to see the resonance with the material. You know, like I said, my, you know, just had no goal. And then over the years, how the people, in spite of there being a lot of information around about sex, there's a tremendous resonance with the material that I'm conveying. Now, this is not my material. It's been confirmed, re-established through my own body, which has then put me in a position to share with people. So, yes, I have written a few books, and so life has been an interesting unfolding, and here I am sitting to you, talking to you, which is lovely.
Yes, it is, especially with you being in Canada. It's so awesome.
Yes, it makes it much easier for timelines, that's for sure.
So I was fascinated with your video because I've never met you, but I just feel such a connection. We have met on Blog Talk, but I feel such a connection with you. When you said on your video, "I like sex, but there must be more," I thought that just sums it up for so many women today. I don't know if it's men. I don't know how many men feel that. If there are any men on the line, maybe you can chime in on this. But that was what I was feeling halfway into my marriage. Like, I like sex, but there must be more. And so you have discovered the mystery of the body, as you put it, which is just where I am in my awareness or raising the consciousness. As a holistic life coach, I feel like I'm doing so much for people on so many levels, but you have really chimed in on a specific area, and one of those areas is the magnetism in the body. So I would love for you to really touch on this magnet that's so fascinating to me, because that really helps individuals go inward instead of the outward focus we've had on the sex area. So if you would just go tell us, teach us about the magnetism in the body, which I think would be a good place for people to start to shift their wisdom on this.
Yes, I'll try and do that in a short way.
Yes.
The reality is that we cannot perceive this magnetism that is present in every single body and unless we start to kind of slow down, become more conscious and listen to the body. So that's why people are not aware of it, because we're usually very much in action and heading off, you know. Usually people want to have an orgasm, so they work towards that. So this very subtle layer of information or the potential of the body is not available to us. Now, to get more specific, basically, you know, the planet has a magnetic field. The planet has an inner magnet with a magnetic field around it. And the body is pretty much the same, not pretty much, actually exactly the same, in that in the genital area and in the heart area, these are different poles. We have an energy-raising pole and an energy-receiving pole. And this then enables a streaming of magnetic energy to flow through the body and also expand beyond the body. And in women, the energy-raising pole, and this is the real, one of the big missing links in understanding, is that the female body is totally, totally different to the male body. Now, of course, that's kind of obvious, but we treat it kind of the same. But this difference is really, you know, in the magnetic setup. So in conventional sex, the clitoris is considered the center of female sexuality. There, women get kind of excited and turned on. But in fact, women's sexual energy is raised through her breasts. This is her, on a magnetic level, we can say her positive pole, her energy-raising pole. And actually, if you look at it in certain terms, the breasts are the life-sustaining pole of women in the sense of women can breastfeed. So for women herself, this is also the energy-raising pole for her whole body and her to access her sexual energy on a deeper level. And the vagina is the receptive pole, and you can see that from the form, it receives the penis. So women, it's important for women and for men that there's a shift from emphasis on the clitoris to an awakening in the breasts. And this kind of awakening is, it's not excitement, it's not horny, it's not hunger, it's this deep, deep relaxation and opening and participating in sex, because generally women do yield to sex. We say, okay, you're ready, let's go. What is very important about female body is that woman's body takes a lot longer to warm up to sex than man's, because what we can say is that men and women are equal forces and opposite forces, and therefore complementary forces. So on a magnetic level, man also has an inner magnet, but it's reversed. So his energy raising, energy giving pole is the penis, and that's clear. Also, it, you know, conveys the semen, and his receptive pole is in the heart. So you can see the thing is turned. It's like man is like a magnet standing on his head. So when we become more tuned in to these deeper energy realities in the body, then we create the opportunity for another flow to happen. But it's in a much, much subtler, finer level. And interestingly, it's not overwhelming, it's not exciting, it's not hot, but it is so deeply moving and so touching that after, you feel different as a person. You feel more in love, you feel more with yourself, with your environment, with your beloved. So there's a lot of value in cooling down and accessing that has been given to us by nature. So the whole tantric field that I'm, you know, been exploring now for over 30 years is based on these very, very deep-seated magnetisms in the body. And so in that level, you know, it's, I say that every single body, every single person is born tantric. But it's a lack of understanding. So it's not a choice. It's who you are. But the lack of understanding about sex has shifted us a little bit away from this inner truth. So the potential lies in everybody. And it's very, very valuable, especially this, realizing that women's body warms up more slowly to sex. And every woman knows that she would like to say to her guy, can we have a little bit more time? But as women, we're very kind of caught in like a pleasing pattern in relation to men. So often we will not go against our bodies, but step over the truth that our bodies are telling us in the moment. And this, when woman steps over again and again the truth of the body, then the body loses interest. And this is one of the basic difficulties that stand between men and women today, is this: women lose interest in sex. And it's not something psychological. It's something that happens. A woman doesn't want it to happen, but sooner or later it happens. And it's not sex per se, but it's the style of sex. And without woman understanding her own body and man understanding woman's body, you know, it eventually causes woman kind of to withdraw. So reestablishing this magnetic understanding and giving sex a whole lot more space and literally time hours, you can then begin to play in a very different kind of field. It's not something that happens overnight, but each little milli step you make all adds up to this big tapestry. So, yes, I did a lot of talking there, Beata. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Well, I'm back, and let's see. I think Diana, are you there?
Yes, here I am. Yes, where did I lose you?
I dropped out first, I think, and then you dropped. This is, let me give a disclaimer, not a disclaimer, but just an awareness. On Blog Talk Radio, this happens often that first the host can drop off and then the guest can drop off. So when that happens, I'm going to put on music. I can still see the studio board. And if I drop out again and you hear music, that means I have to call back into the studio and then hook up again. And I saw that you had dropped out as well. So it's one of those days. I know it's raining here in Chicago, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But we can continue because this is technology today, but I'm just glad we're both connected.
But aren't we lucky that there is this technology that we can connect? Yeah.
I know. We have to just deal with the good and the bad. It's like what you're just talking about, this magnetism. We are becoming more aware and conscious of everything, I think, in this day and age. And especially for me, becoming more learning about the intelligence within the body. I think in my field of a holistic health, that's the lesson that I'm trying to convey to others about the intelligence within the body. We are so used to going outside of the body for answers. In fact, I've been studying about addictions and why people are addicted to substances like cigarettes, alcohol, sex even. It's because they don't have emotional intelligence, which is about understanding their feelings and how to process their feelings. So what you were saying about women, I had an aha moment when you said that when women step over their truth, I think the way you put it, that they become less interested in sex. Is that how you put it? When we ignore our truth, it's like we ignore our intuition, that's when we lose interest in this process called sex.
Yes, and it's like I said, it's not a mental thing. It really happens on a body level, because actually a woman doesn't want that. But it does happen. So it's like on a subtle level, the body closes down because it's not being accessed at its more fundamental level.
Absolutely. So here we are coming together in this day of confusion and much violence in our society. And more than that, media-driven beliefs and ideas. I'm in people's homes all the time where CNN is on almost 24 hours. It's like crazy in my mind. And so people are being fed these ideas from the media, which is causing tension, fear, anxiety, all realms of emotions. But I like what I was hearing you say on your video about how society says that we are supposed to reach a goal, in this case, orgasm, or in our sexual activity, we're supposed to be goal-oriented, and I'm so ready to shift and help others shift away from the goal and take away the goal or the habit and look at all the options. Wouldn't you say there are just so many options? And how do we begin to make that? How are you teaching that we begin to make that shift from this outward focus to the inward focus?
Well, it really is this basic starting point that we have touched on, is this being more conscious in the body, not so mechanical. That is the basic shift, is to start to pull the energy in, you know, instead of out. Like if often in sexual contact, the attention is actually more on the partner than oneself. Of course, one is, you know, your body is there and everything, but your focus is outward, not inward. And this is helpful for anything you do, you know, including sex. So to help people understand that because we think that sex needs to have an outcome, there needs to be this peak and discharge experience, this has pulled us ahead of ourselves. So we're very rarely present in sex, because when you are truly present, the whole thing just opens up and you are so plugged in that it can go on for hours and you feel, you know, each moment is happening as it's happening, and it just continues like this. And then suddenly it's like, wow, I've been making love for 3 hours, 5 hours. So it's, yeah, to pull the awareness back into the body. So this book, for instance, that I wrote, that we first connected through slow sex, that is a misnomer, slow sex, because really there's a step before that, and which is to be conscious, because only when you are conscious, you know, then you can start to perceive. And so when you are conscious, the byproduct of being more conscious is that you do automatically slow down. You're not trying to slow down. You simply do slow down. And then when you do slow down, you become more sensitive. So you become more perceptive. So that is the kind of sequence that, you know, we try to teach the people, is first see that you're being pulled out towards the goal. Come back, listen to the body. And then, you know, be more conscious, and then see how this thing changes. And it's amazing. We do week-long retreats, how fast people kind of get it, in the sense of they can really feel how much better and connected and loving they are between each other or with themselves after sex. So it's a real bonding experience that goes beyond the sex. It's not just, okay, we have some sex and a quick release and move on. So the first step is to be conscious in the body. But this is something, you know, as you said, it can happen. It's how you walk, how you sit, how you eat. All these little things are part of the picture.
Now, do you agree that sex starts in the kitchen, sort of?
Well, kitchen tables are usually a very nice height. by that, Viata, do you mean like in the ordinary things?
Yes,
absolutely. The whole thing is to be switched on all the time. It's not switch on, switch off, switch on, switch off. Problem is we just want to be switched on in the bedroom and
right.
be able to like raise the energy and have amazing experiences. But if you don't have a fundamental connection to the body, this is not going to happen. So one has to start practicing, always turning some awareness back into the body as you're walking, as you're going to the toilet. Like even in the toilet, we push and strain. Body is designed to, you know, if our diet is good for that, to move in a natural way. And when we do allow it, and I'm sure many people have experienced this, it's orgasmic. If you really just let it happen, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's just in with defecation. But so when we start to pull this into sex, just relaxing and allowing the body to do its thing, it's a very different experience. So
yes.
I lost track a little bit there, Beata.
No, that's perfect. You're perfect. Because all those who are listening now and who will listen, I'm sure they're struggling with the idea of going inward instead of looking and focusing out on and being mechanical. You know, my ex-husband was a aircraft mechanic, and I can look back now and see that thinking, that mode of thinking, was with him all the time, or most of the time, because he's used to doing he had a career for almost 40 years where he was fixing airplanes, and his mechanical mind was always looking outward and looking inside of something like an airplane and the engineering works of it. And then when it came to intimacy and moving into an intelligence within the body, he struggled with that so much. And I was moving forward, reading books by Diana Richardson and becoming more conscious and becoming a more of a life coach. And then I think that's what most men go through, is that whatever career they have been working in, that it's not the type of process that we're talking about today, where we're looking not on the circumference but and going outside, but we're really focusing on this magnetic being and energy and energy itself. I mean, how does energy move when, like you said, from the breast to the penis and all these areas that we're not conscious of? So
yes,
it's a struggle.
Yes.
So whatever you're saying is very relevant, because so many of us are struggling with shifting, making this shift to a more enlightening and more powerful and fulfilling, I want to say nourishing, some of the words you were using, nourishing, fulfilling. At my age, that's what I want and desire in any relationship, something that's nourishing and fulfilling. So your new movie, you titled Awake. What? How have you grown, would you say, from your beginnings of this process, this teaching, to where you are now with your new movie? Have you seen different things that you need to teach? And how is that? How did you come to the Awake new movie that you're working on?
You know, this is not my movie. Somebody else is making a movie, and they interviewed me. And
okay.
So that's why there's some clips on YouTube. Yes. So, but I did make the slow sex movie, which I believe I sent you at one point. That was a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Viata, all I can say, it's a deepening experience, like within myself and what I teach people. The basic frame, I have to say, has not changed. In the sense of truth is truth, how does it change? You know, body reality is body reality. It's more going deeper and deeper into that. And over the years, talking to people, you're finding the right way to communicate. And still, you know, that is something that essentially, because with sex, we have such strong imprinting. That for some people it's very difficult to take other information. So in the beginning I can say that I was a little bit more black and white, you know, it's like this or this. Slowly it is a shift, and it's a gradual shift. And also for me, it's not like from one day to the next you're in the field, but it starts with awareness and pulling awareness in every time when you make love and also in your daily life. And then slowly, there is this shift that happens inside, accompanied by many revelations, many sudden flash understandings that kind of give confirmation or anchoring or understanding. And then that helps then again to, you know, pull more people in. Because sex, the ignorance about sex really lies at the heart of humanity's problems. Because there's this basic pattern, the way we make sex, which is always to do with a loss of energy, building up and then a loss or a discharge. This means there's never a full circle. It's just build up, discharge. And so it's not ultimately fulfilling. It's nice, you know, no two ways about it, but it doesn't move one deeply. And then we just want the same thing again and again. So it's like a desire pattern, or like you mentioned earlier, some people literally are addicted to sex. there's never a full circle within oneself or between the bodies, which has a whole other level of feeling about yourself. And if your feeling about yourself changes, the feeling about those close to you and in the society also changes. And this lack of understanding with sex is the root of a lot of unhappiness, a lot of anger, a lot of emotion, a lot of the reason why couples can't sustain a relationship for a long time. So, yes, it's like I say, it's a deepening experience, and it's fascinating.
Wow, that you said something so profound, that the ignorance of sex is at the root of most of our problems. You know, what I realize more and more in this journey is that so many people have been abused sexually, verbally, as children. And so what you're saying, ignorance about sex and this addiction, that's profound in that we have so many problems in the United States. And a lot of it could actually be connected to this abuse that people experience in their childhood. What do you think? Because every day there's some story about someone who was abused as a child, which partially explains their behavior and their diseases that they're suffering with today. Have you seen that in the couples that you're teaching or who attend your workshop?
Viata, it is the greatest, greatest tragedy.
Oh,
it
yeah.
completely changes a person's life, this crossing of boundaries. And yes, I encounter it very frequently. Millions of women, men too, as
mm-hmm.
young boys. But of course, the proportion is higher with women. And for me, this is just like somehow really revealing that people, adults, do have no idea. They just think a kid is unconscious. They won't remember, but every cell remembers. And even if it's just one incident that might not even be physical crossing, but energy crossing of boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And and it's just a reflection of where we are at as a humanity, that people take these liberties with innocent, young, fresh humans and change the course of their lives and never think about it. So the good news is that when consciousness is brought into the sexual exchange, like men are really conscious in the penis, women are really conscious in the vagina, and of course these are connected to the whole body. It's not just these parts. That these old, it's deeply healing, can I say, and deeply integrating, and very often women and men will experience that old memories come up and are cleansed from the system. So it's fascinating that sex can destroy somebody's life, but it also can heal it.
Mm.
So, you know, this is, like I say, the good news. And of course, it's never good news for somebody, for somebody who's been damaged in that way. Yeah, it's just nice to know that there is an antidote, even though, you know, they're suffering and so on. Nothing can, make it better for them. But in the here and now, it is possible to find a way back to the innocence and the lack of protection and the defensiveness, which the body and psyche naturally kind of adopts because of the early interference. So, yes, respect the children. Respect the children. It also just shows that there's no satisfaction in sex, that people are having to get it in weird ways, not through the adult channels. And that also that sex is a lot to do with mind and titillation and fulfilling of, excuse me, fulfilling of fantasies or, so, yeah. Yeah, we're pretty off track with sex.
When you find in your workshop that there are women or men who have been abused in their youth, does it shift your teaching, your outline in any way? Do you still continue to teach as you always do, or does it kind of help make you think twice about what you're presenting? How does that work for you when you encounter so many people with this, or is that included in your whole teaching process?
It's included. Yes, it's included. So in other words, look, if I had to take into account every person who was abused in my groups, I wouldn't be able to do a group in the sense it is so common. I mean, the percentage in Europe is extremely high. Of course, I'm always aware, because I get the information before, of who has that problem, and I just keep an eye. Because whether one has been abused or not, one still needs the basic frame changed.
Okay.
How we look at sex, how we relate to the body, because it's through that that the healing happens. Now, it can happen that early, and the way we teach is very structured. I mean, I don't mean in a rigid sense, but things very definitely unfold one to the other through the week. And this later in the week, we really do go into this healing of memories and the whole abuse thing, because by then you've established this consciousness, this presence, this magnetic thing. Then it starts to make sense to people. So if I notice or somebody comes to me and says, look, this and this is happening, these feelings are coming up, I would just encourage them to allow the feelings. Because those are very cleansing. And, you know, just to say, wait a little bit, we will deal very specifically with this subject on such and such a day. But in the meantime, you know, just carry on, give yourself the space to feel. But, you know, there are definitely people who have had their boundaries crossed. And like I said, it doesn't have to be physical. It can even just be eyes, invasion through somebody looking at you. And what I want to say also is that generally speaking, we can say that this aggressive kind of unconscious sex is abusive to the body. So on some level, we're all suffering abuse, and especially women, because of this women not being ready for somebody to enter the body. So because woman needs more time, so woman naturally defends. Also, if a man moves unconsciously in woman very fast and deep, of course it hurts the cervix. So woman is tightening and receiving man, but also defending herself from man. So these, you know, this is also overgoing boundaries. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting it's anything as traumatic as, you know, what young people, you know, unfortunately experience. Sometimes even infants, 2-3 months old. It is so astonishing. So yes, generally speaking, we can say that the style of conventional sex is abusive to female body and also male body, because this whole emphasis on excitement, getting horny, getting hard, pumping up the sensation, this is all ultimately desensitizing for the system, because the system can only take so much stimulation. And then after that, it kind of like deadens. And the byproduct of this in men is tremendous erectile dysfunction that's increasing in our society. Women, the byproduct is this loss of interest, this body closing. So, yes, men are very, very rough on their penises. There's a lot of masturbation, the way men deal with their penis. So this beautiful instrument, which is given to us by God to convey love and life energy is yet used in a sensational way. That is ultimately deadening. So that changes the man's relationship to himself. And I've heard so many men say, you know, after the workshop, is just somehow to be more in the penis from the inside, you know, not from the outside, is so deeply relaxing. To be able to honor the penis, not feel a bit ashamed, a bit guilty, you know, because we all have these feelings when we go too much into unconsciousness. Yes.
That's awesome. Your words are almost poetic, because this is such a refreshing perspective of our body. I just can't help thinking about my own body, how for years I've worn a bra, and I just decided in my stage that I'm in now, and no more bras. So I don't think I've ever had a comfortable bra. And if you're not, and with you putting giving us the knowledge about the breasts and what they represent in this slow sex consciousness, I feel so comfortable when I'm not wearing this restricted piece of clothing. And I really I'm at a place where I don't care what people think about it. Your words are so poetic that I'm just so appreciative that we're hearing this and that this will go out into the World Wide Web. And we have someone with their hand up and a question. And I want to remind our listeners, if you do have a question, hit the number one, men. If you have a question, hit the number one, and I'll see your mic, your light on, and I'll open it up. But we have a question from someone in 336-350 area code. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Greetings, sister.
Good morning, sister. How are you?
Hey. Rebirthing. I'm in a rebirthing process right now.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That's so. Sister Viata, how come you didn't call me yesterday, or ring my phone off the hook to let me know you caught me off guard? I just tuned in, and I'm just gonna have, ma'am.
I understand. You know, yesterday for Diana and all my listeners, I was at a soulful Chicago book fair all day long. I started at 7 o'clock in the morning getting ready and out, and I was in the city of Chicago from 9 in the morning until about 7. I got back here because it was so exciting, so awesome. I met so many great people. I sold my dad's books, talked to people about football and life, and I kept thinking in the back of my mind, I got to get home and upload this show. And I did. I went to bed at like 11 or 12. So for Diana, my sister who's on the line, she is in Arizona. And I think I text her about the show about maybe midnight. I don't know. And then this morning I text again, and I thought, well, oh, it's 5 o'clock in the morning there. So my apologies to all those who got a late notice, but this show is in the archives, and I will be listening to this show again because there's so many nuggets of wisdom coming forth from our guest Diane. And I'm just so grateful that we're hearing all this, because we all need to shift our thinking about not just sex, but life, communication, and relationship. This is all about relationships and communicating, because what Diana's talking about in my mind is something that we all, whether we're having sex or not, we all need to be aware of this human vessel that is so powerful magnetically, and how we need to shift our thinking. This is about shifting our thinking and the way we live on this earth.
That's right. Well, Sister Viata, I'm really grateful to the Most High, even though I just tuned in, but we'll talk about this, offline. I wanted to, so you can repeat this, because I need to get clarification. You know, every time you look up, it's Viagra, and somebody is slipping a little packet of Viagra in the suitcase on the commercial, you know. And I'm like, I saw this when I was, you know, in the rehab, not for my brain, y'all, for my body. Anyway, and I'm looking, I'm like, what? And I couldn't stop the commercial. You know, I couldn't pause it or whatever. And I'm looking at this, and they are having these commercials with they're going to the bed and breakfast, and they're slipping the Viagra in their luggage. And I'm like, whoa, what message is that sending? That everybody has to take a Viagra now to get it up. Even if they're young. I'm like, wait a minute, what's up with this picture? And I'm like, what is going on here? You know, is that the only thing that human beings now, they have come to a level of understanding, not overstanding, but understanding that, oh, I got to get a Viagra or whatever else, potent thing or whatever, you know, to get it up so we can get it on. And I'm like, something's up with this. And now, did I not hear you say, my sister, and greetings to you and your listening audience. This is so powerful. Honestly, for those who are in the boonies and you do not have a contraption and you cannot go online or whatever, there are some people who still are not able to, and I'm one of them. Anyway, this should be copied and sent to all the preachers in the church and all of those ones who fall over the benches and up in the pews and carrying on, you know, and then they go home to the other people after they've taken off their robes from preaching, and then they go to another zone with their, what do you call it, their all of their women, their flock of women that they're having the orgies with. That's the only way that I can put it. And I mean, from one end of the spectrum, here's the pastor laying on hands and carrying on and people falling out in the floor. And then they go through the door, snatch the robe off and carrying on and go into the other door to the harem. Okay. I'm like, dang. And to me, I think this is what you said, sister. They've abused their bodies so much, they need double, triple dose of Viagra to keep it up, to keep on doing it. Is that basically, in my own words, did I hear you right, but in my own words?
Diana, take it away.
Well, what I did say is that the way we have sex tends to make us insensitive. And so, yes, these days, the pharmaceutical company has developed something which is not at all helpful for the humanity, but it's earning a lot of money. And
yeah,
one can take Viagra, one can get an erection, but it's a soulless experience, and actually it will close a man's heart. And I know men who just have shared with me that they've taken it and just pumped and pumped and pumped and pumped and pumped and pumped. And, you know, it's the mind that's disturbed. Body is not disturbed. Body is pure. Mind is disturbed. So it's in the psyche. So you can pump endlessly and you'll still notice, you know, 24 hours again, you want that again.
Yes.
So 24 hours later, you want that again. So it's again, you know, just a reflection of what a bizarre world we live in. And for women, what, you know, they, you know, a man pumping and pumping and pumping mechanically in you, trying to reach this discharge, this is not good. It's not good for the vagina. Women endure it. And, yeah, it's a disaster, sister, and bless you for bringing that onto the air. Certainly something to certainly something to be reconsidered. And I just must say this, is that there is the possibility that man can enter woman with a relaxed penis. And this is something very few people know about. It's something I present in all my books. So, yeah, it's a very, very disturbed field. Okay. But erection is not essential to make love. And this is the whole Viagra story, is that there's this basic belief that to have sex, you need a stiff penis. Now, it's not true.
It's not. It really isn't. And I'm so grateful that I am so grateful that you said that. Because it isn't. Because, you know, if you really, like you said just a minute ago, when you do that, it's the soul is really not involved. It's a soulless experience. Is that not what I heard you say, sister?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. That is so phenomenally on point. And with my issues that I've had my life, you know, I'm very grateful that I was able to have two children. And this is another show. However, I will say quickly that I've always had issues sexually because it was so painful because of my body structure and what my body was going through, even when I first came to the planet. And then when I started to become sexually active, it was a whole new journey in a most painful way, not just being a virgin and broken in and all of that. There were many, many issues that had to do with my body makeup and my health and the challenges that I was already having as a young child, you see, with bone issues. So you don't have to have an erection. If that person's soul is in tune to you and you are in tune to that person, then things can happen with just loving each other. But we, as whatever we are on this planet right now, because I'm beginning to wonder, we have gotten so distorted. Distorted, you know, in how we interact with each other, with one another, I can just go on, and I thank you for this subject, Sister Viata, and just your tenacity to uncover this and to allow this to be on your show. Again, find a way. We can make a bunch of copies, and I will deliver them myself to every church in my neighborhood, in North Carolina especially, because it's the Bible Belt. And it's really interesting how the psyche of many of those who live in the Bible Belt have allowed their their information or in just any old information infiltrate, or not right information infiltrate their psyche. So, sister, bottom line, I thank us for you and even your gumption to even approach your mission on this planet at this time. I give a hand, a shout out to you. Do you hear me now?
Thank us. Thank you, sister. And Diana, that brings up a topic that maybe we can just discuss a little bit. The role that religion and the church has played in promoting this confusion and soullessness. I love that it's not of the soul when we practice fast sex. So how do you think religion and spiritual or religion and the church have caused this lack of knowledge to grow in our society or not? What do you think the church's role should be? Can we talk about this type of thing in churches, or is it just something that people have to learn outside of the church?
Well, interestingly, in Europe, there are certain priests who've taken my books and started to recommend them to congregations. And also using, I wrote a book called, I think I mentioned it last time we talked, for young adults. It's not in English yet. But again, Sunday school teachers are using these things. So, you know, I don't think the priests are at fault. Look, it's a complex theme, and I don't want to tread on anybody's toes. Certainly, from the Christian religion, you know, there is a sex as a sin, and it can only happen within the marriage. And, you know, all this kind of stuff has kind of turned us against the body. Because, you know, nature gave us sex. So there is an attraction because of this reproductive potential, but also because that's the equal and opposite force. Then we get guilty and ashamed, including priests, that they still have these bodily aliveness, we can say. So it is very fascinating that within the church there has been an enormous amount of abuse by priests, especially more to young boys. And, you know, that is just like so revealing and sad, a real tragedy. Yeah. The thing is about the people who end up in the church or wherever you end up in life, we all have the basic imprinting. So it's not like our sister said earlier when she was sharing that the priests have allowed this to enter their psyche. It happens because it's all around. It's in the fabric. And this starts really already in childhood. And that's the problem. We start to get a certain imprinting about sex, about how it looks, how it should look. And it's such an unresolved issue that it plays out in everybody, regardless if they are priests or not. Yes, there are also some. Hello, are you there? Yeah. Some Eastern religions, you know, or Oriental, that are very, very disrespectful of women and so on. So it is an area.
I think Diana has dropped again, and so we're going to wait for her to call back in. In the meantime, those of you who are on the call, if you have a question, just hit the number 1, and your mic will light up, and I'll let you speak here on Soul Purpose Healing. I'm really thinking a lot about what Diana just said about how we have this idea of traditional fast sex that the man's penis has to be hard and that's the only best way to have sex. And we have been so trained in that thought that it's going to take quite a bit of unlearning to move to the higher level of consciousness that we're talking about today. So we have a caller from 202-280. Your mic is open.
Yes, I scanned the book a few times. I highly recommend the book to all men, particularly, well, doesn't matter what age, but men and couples. It's a educational book, practical book, and as far as the erection thing goes, yes, you can have sex, make love, whatever you want to call it, with a soft norm, also known as a non-erect penis, but for men, I would recommend this. Get the book, study the book, but in addition to that, I also recommend this. Nutrition. Learn something about nutrition, because many erectile dysfunctions were a result of poor nutrition. And next thing for men, I would recommend, if you're watching porn and you're masturbating, cut those two activities out. You cut those two activities out and read the book, and then get up on your nutrition. You should have a pretty revolutionary new lifestyle based on the book. That's my comment.
Diana is back, and I've opened up her mic, so let me just fill her in. We just had a male caller comment on how he has scanned your book, and he loved it, and he recommends that men who want to throw away the Viagra or have better sex life, they look at nutrition. And do you, Diana, do you talk about that aspect of life in your lectures, nutrition?
No, I don't, Viata. There's, you know, so much other areas to, like, tweak that I leave the nutrition alone. And you know, people need to find out for themselves. Yeah. So, no, I don't. You know, basically because there's a time factor. Also, I have not studied nutrition on that level. For sure, I, you know what my, you know, I do know about nutrition, but not how it enhances sexual creativity or exploration and so on. Certainly, that some things are not helpful. alcohol, for instance, because one can so easily go into unconsciousness. At the same time, it does bring a level of relaxation, maybe more for a woman. Just to kind of like get over the initial hump, we can say. So regrettably, Viata, this is probably more your area than mine with the nutrition. But I'm pleased that caller was a man and that he likes the book, because this is really, there needs to be, you know, women are, yeah, there needs to be some shift, and the more men can not take responsibility, but take an interest, because it's their potential to make a shift. But sometimes the patterns are so deeply anchored in the psyche that there's this, like, why should I? You know, like a unwillingness, we can say. But at the same time, I've always asked myself the question, who am I if I don't? You know, who am I if I don't get, like, hot and horny? Who am I if I don't come now? And this, so trying to find out discover the other me through challenging the habits. And, yeah, so for men, this kind of peak and discharge type style of sex is more deeply anchored, because men come quicker, so they more, many women in this style struggle to orgasm, don't have orgasm. What I want to say is orgasm per se is not important, because it's, we're building up energy and discharging energy, so it's, you know, it's not not so special. It's not, you know, it might be pleasant, it's not necessarily helpful for the system. So it is helpful to really pull back from this building up of energy and discharging energy. Now, of course, if you want a baby, it's ideal. But you rather decide when you're fertile. You create a beautiful situation. Man goes in there, does the job, and finished. And then separate reproduction from lovemaking. In the sense of, if a couple is trying to have a baby and just like randomly shooting every time they get together, it's not so conscious. And the more conscious, you know, like, okay, this time I am going to come. And I have heard the guidance, which is interesting. I mean, it's a little off point too, is that for reproductive purposes, it's much better for a man to go in there, like I said, do the job and out. We have this idea we've got to have some cosmic papa, man and woman together, and then baby arrives. Look, I don't know how babies arrive, but I know how sperm arrives. So when we actually create the situation for the conception, we're giving a real different foundation for the being that kind of follows. Because it's wanted, it's not like accidental. Most of us are here accidentally. Okay, our parents wanted us generally, but not like, now's the time, now we're consciously going to conceive. Of course, it doesn't always happen, but you repeat the same thing in due course. Yeah. So,
yes,
what's next?
So many points you brought up, but especially that we are, sometimes we're kind of an accident, but for me, that's what happened. My parents weren't expecting me, and my mother even wanted an abortion, or she thought about an abortion. Same thing with my dad. His mother told him she tried everything she could to get rid of him. So you're so right about this act affects the purpose of it, conception, or just fun and relaxation. And yet we come out, those of us who have this knowledge of what our parents were thinking, we come out, in my case and my dad's, feeling grateful, feeling like we have a mission. And it's helped my journey of consciousness because of that knowledge. And so now we want to teach something different, you and I and those who are on this journey to be more awake and conscious. We want to create a different world. We want to create a peaceful world. We want to create something that will help us all communicate with love and compassion and wake up to the purpose why we're here. We're here. Soul Purpose Healing is the name of this show, which came to me kind of from the heavens, because I was like, what am I going to call this show? What am I going to call this show? And Soul Purpose Healing just seemed like the right title. And here we are discussing getting back to the soul aspect of sex. Sex, this act that we're all so aware of and involved in. And we're getting back to the soul purpose, as you said, of this act of communication and magnetism, and we're just learning so many things about this whole act or this process of lovemaking and coming together. So, it's just so much to talk about when we bring up this topic. So, Mama AZ, did you have a question? I'm sorry I interrupted you at one point.
No, sister, it's all good. Thank you.
Okay,
brother.
I wanted to touch a little bit about on what something you said, Diana, in your upbringing in South Africa. You briefly stated how the racial situation there was horrible, and how I'm sure that influenced your life. I wonder if you can give some wisdom on having come through that situation, and because in America we're kind of maybe babies at dealing with this stuff, and the media is, in my mind, promoting the friction and the division and the fear. And when you look back on your life in South Africa, and we're diverting a little bit, but I think it's important as we wind down to talk about the current energetic situation in this country and how we can bring more peace and wisdom to it. So I'd like you to kind of reflect on the racial situation that you grew up in and how you see your life and what impact you can have now to bring peace even to America.
Yes, interesting question. Because I do think these things that happen, like you said, for yourself in the childhood and so on, do have an impact on how one then moves with one's own energy in one's life. And, you know, the thing is, you're born into a situation of apartheid, where there is this separation, like black, white, literally in every single facility. You know what I mean? Movies, restaurants, buses, benches,
yes.
parks,
yes.
beaches, and so on.
Like America.
Right. But you grow up and you don't know that. You're just a sweet, innocent being. You're growing up on a farm. You're surrounded by these, like, tremendously juicy, vibrant people who work for your father. But you don't know that. You little girl. You know these people are very loving, very warm, very, like I say, they... African people, generally speaking, are much more body connected than other races or whatever. So it was very painful, this, as one grows up, realizing what is actually happening. All this subservience, that it's, yeah, so it kind of slowly dawns on you. But already you imprinted with it, because I've seen little white kids talking to adult African men or women who are caring for them in such bad terms. It's obviously that they're imitating the parents. So it's just so fascinating. Even the dogs will not bark at a white person. They will bark at an African person walking past.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, it's in the atmosphere. And it just goes into you. So, yeah, I was very fortunate that I learned as a child to speak the language of Zulu, and because I grew up in Zululand, and then I studied it when I studied law. I also studied to read and write in Zulu. So that also that language connection gave me a tremendous bond with the people, and there was always this feeling. You know, you've got to do something to help. So that was the motivation to do the law, and also the motivation to get out the law. There's nothing that I can do, because this whole thing is much bigger than me. And like I said, you know, you discover the prejudice. Well, I said, you know, truth and justice are not the same, because the magistrate, the guy making the decisions, the judges, they're all prejudiced. Then, you know, I did move away from South Africa when I was 25. It wasn't a decision. It's why I went on holiday and never went back. And I'm so happy that my life took me, like, life just took me in another direction. Happy because it just opened other doors for me. And also this door of exploring, you know, the body. As I said, I became a massage therapist. And then through that, you know, contemplating body and body energy more, and then the sexual exploration. So I did leave a long time ago, and I left before 1994 I left actually, what was it, 87? No, 78. yeah, so a long time ago. Before, in 94, the apartheid dropped. So things are a lot better there, but still, you know, we look worldwide and there is, you know, again, there's so many areas around humanity that we're just off track with. And a lot of it is this, you know, is based on sex. It's also based on discrimination, on superiority, and a lot of assumptions being made. So, yeah. Another real, you know, there's many blind spots in our world, and this one with race is truly blind.
Yeah. Very much. Well, when you mentioned your childhood experience, it was just like here in the United States, that the Jim Crow laws segregated from theaters to water fountains to bathrooms, everything seemed very similar to what was going on in South Africa, apartheid. We had apartheid here in the United States as well. And just as you talk about your law experience, you wanted to help. I think a lot of men and women have that thought, that they want to help, so they go into law and they realize in that legal system it's so corrupt that the judges are being paid off, or the attorneys are in bed with the judges, or as you say, the magistrates, and so you realize there's not a whole lot you can do, so you move on. And I think it's
right.
Beautiful when we recognize that my influence here is limited. And that's kind of what I saw in my own marriage, in fact. Was like, after 36 years, my influence here is limited. I'm just getting frustrated. I'm moving on. And that's what we do. Isn't that's part of our life journey? We don't stay in stressful situations where we can't influence for the good. And I started looking at the difference between influencing and controlling. I'm asking the question of, am I controlling or am I trying to influence? And I don't know about you, but we have this battle in our minds of the stress that we're dealing with. Why am I here, and what am I doing? And as you so beautifully stated about what is our mission here, and is it time to move on? And is it time to shift? We're asking these questions a lot now in our relationships, which brings us back to the topic today of slow sex, and how so many choices that we make in life have to do with how we learned how to be intimate with another person. I think that would be...
Yes. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you there? Okay,
yes.
Yes, Viata.
And so we pause now to reflect on this complex world we live in. And I think what you said, when you say you don't teach the nutritional aspect, because your subject is so deep and so profound and so wide and so needed that, there, like you said, there's no room to focus on anything but that. That's what people need. And then in my area, I'm just grateful that I have met you and introduced to your book that in my area of as a holistic life coach, that I can bring this element in with some knowledge now, because I haven't been able to speak on this at all, really, because all I knew is I like sex, but there's got to be something more. And now I know the more
right.
of it. And so right. I'm just very grateful that now I my whole purpose in this life is to grow in my knowledge and wisdom and compassion. And what we learned, a new word on my show, Crow Voices. I do a blog talk show every Tuesday called Crow Voices, and it's a show with the Native Americans in southern Montana. Peggy, well-known Buffalo, is the co-host of that show. And she had a guest on who mentioned that we often use the phrases overstanding or understanding. And he says, you know, the connotations with those words, denotations, are somewhat inaccurate today. And he brought up a new term called common standing, that we are
that's
a collective.
Beautiful.
Isn't it, though? When he said that, I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. I've got to start using that common standing. That as a collective group of humans on this planet, we have so much in common. And if we could only focus on the higher knowledge, like Diana has written in her book today or this season, and what she's teaching, if we could only focus on that, then we could be common standing. We're not under anything. We're not over. We're all
mm-hmm.
common growing and standing together to raise the awareness of the soul's purpose on this earth. Isn't that the thought we want to keep with us now?
Well, definitely, Viata, I like that so much, common standing, standing together in common ground. And if we can make our body the common ground with understanding, with common standing, yes, we could make a different world. And blessings to you for all that you are doing in encouraging people to find their soul purpose.
Sister Viata.
Yes.
So, do we wrap it up now, Viata?
Yes.
Sister, one more question.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to make a comment to Brother L.A. He is on the point about foods, and there are Viagra. There is Viagra in foods, and leaving the porn alone, you know, it's only my opinion, and not getting all excited and investigate about natural Viagra, not only in the foods, people, but in nature. And I give thanks to you, Brother L.A. And sister, thank you for putting that term, common standing and common ground, sister, both of you. So you are correct with saying I need to stay focused on my mission here, and somebody else has to come in with another chapter of foods and natural Viagra. And so thank all of you. I needed this today to shift my mind in another slot.
I thank you. Thank you. And Diana, feel free to refer to my Soul Purpose Healing show every Sunday for nutritional advice, because I'm really beginning more and more to focus on health every Sunday. I've been all over the place on this show, bringing in this type of topic and that type of topic. But my expertise is in nutrition and health and spiritual healing and energy balancing. So feel free to refer to my show for health or nutrition information, and then I will be giving a link on the page to your book. And so tell us, as we wrap it up, tell us where people can get your book and what's coming up that they need to be aware of, whether YouTube or what you're doing in the near future.
Beata, I will put you as a link on my website. That'll be lovely, so people can be informed about your shows. My website is www.livinglove.com, and there you can see the selection of books that I've done, one for men, one for women, Slow Sex, the one Viata came across. I am currently working on definitely a title with a deadline in February, and I don't like to talk about books before I publish books, but it is for women again. about menopause and so on, and the many difficulties that women experience and how these can be changed. So yes, and then after that, still another couple of books I want to do, but we're looking at, books take time, so we're looking down the road. But anyone who would like more information, yes, please look at livinglove.com. And very touched and grateful to have been part of this meeting here today, Viata.
Oh, and so am I. So very grateful and appreciate all that you are doing to raise the energy of love, living love. That's the way we want to walk on this earth, living love every day. So thank you so much, Diana, for taking the time out. When do you head back to Switzerland?
In a couple of weeks, yeah.
Okay.
And I start teaching again.
Okay, well, enjoy that beautiful Canadian weather, and we'll have to do a part three in the future, because I know you're a busy lady, and I'm sure there'll be some new things you can share with us and teach us. So until next time, I love you so much, Diana, for all that you are and all that you're doing, and I'm just thanks the universe for putting us together, and someday I know we'll meet and hug. I have another Blog Talk friend, Naima Latif. She's on every day of the week, and I listen to her show, and I got to hug her yesterday at the Soulful Book Fair. So our day is coming, Diana. We're going to hug and meet someday.
I look forward, Viata. Thank you so much. You're a real beauty, and bless you for what you are doing, and I wish you a beautiful day every day. Much love.
Thank you.
Much love. And here we're going to end with a song that I thought was very appropriate called Slow Hands.